Please join me in prayer. Father, we thank you that we have the freedom to read stories like what we just heard this morning, displaying that your word must go forth from generation to generation to know, for all people to know that you are God. And indeed, the story reflects the freedom that the Israelites received because you fought for them. And you are fighting with us in our daily troubles and struggles. And you are raising leaders in the church, in the homes, and in the society to lead your people. And as we reflect on this story, may we not miss what you want us to see, as you have anointed the writer of the book of Judges to declare your sovereignty, to declare your power, to declare your providential acts before the people of Israel and before us, hearers and readers of your word as of today. So open our eyes to see the truth in your word this morning, that we will not harden our hearts nor ignore it. So make our minds attentive and our hearts enjoying and loving the truth of the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My main goal this morning is to try to persuade all of you and inspire you from the text that a sheer possession of some spiritual gifts or natural talents does not necessarily indicate or provide admission into a leadership role. In other words, just because someone is talented, let's say in the area of communication or gifted in various kinds of and skills, such as music or arts or even leadership in itself, does not necessarily mean that he or she should be appointed to take the lead. And that must be applied in the home and in the church. Roles are based on the God-given responsibility to both male and female, not based on natural talents or skills or giftedness. Unfortunately, we naturally lean on areas of giftedness and natural skills for appointing leaders or giving them that role. And this is an error of many churches, actually, evangelical churches, as they promote leadership in ministry, in service, and the way they lead the church. They say that both men and women are equally gifted, and it's true. That's true. But giftedness is not the basis for appointment into leadership roles. The basis for leadership appointment is based on God-given responsibility. Therefore, what I will try to make clear this morning is that the lack of natural talents or skills in some specific area of leadership should not hinder us from exercising the roles that God has given us. Just because we lack something in the area of leadership should not hinder you from exercising, from doing the very role that God has given you. Although natural skills and talents are good, they are not necessary for leadership roles. Leadership skill is less important than leadership roles. And leadership role is a calling from God. And the way God calls leaders is not based on skills and talents. How do we know that? Well, we've been studying the book of Judges for several months now. And so at least we see in the book of Judges that the way God calls people into leadership is not based on strength, because we saw even from last, over a month ago now, when I talk about Ehud, he called those who are weak, those who were unskilled, and those who were not very talented. Do you remember that? And so our text this morning is one of the key examples in the Bible where people were both strong conservatives and both strong liberals are looking into an answer to their question to support their views. For many strong liberals, they examine the gifts and skills that Deborah possessed and conclude that she epitomized the characteristics of female leadership. On the other hand, the strong conservatives also look at the text and read the text and say that this is a glitch. They say that it is not normal. Conservatives teach that women leadership happens only when men are not willing to lead. However, we will see in the text that that view may not be accurate, although it sounds convincing. So why do they come, you know, both sides, looking like they have really a view that's so convincing based on this story that we just read this morning? Well, let's begin examining our text, mainly about who Deborah was, in order to see why many believe that she became the main or the leader or the deliverer in Israel. The first thing, the first gift that we can observe in Deborah was she was a prophetess. She was able to deliver messages from God. That's what it means to be a prophet or prophetess. The equivalent of that today is that she was able to convince people to do something by speaking the word of God. It is like preaching. So prophesying is like preaching. That's what we see also in the New Testament. So that was her first gift, or that was her first skill. She was able to deliver messages. That's in verse 4. Again, part of verse 4 there in our text, that Deborah was judging Israel. It is clear that Deborah was leading or judging the Israelites. Actually, the NIV used the word lead, or I think both showing the word judging or leading the Israelites. And it appears that she was already doing this, or she had been doing this for some time before the Israelites had some trouble. Before they needed a deliverer, Deborah was already doing this kind of service for the Israelites. She had an office where she met people who needed her. It was called Palm of Deborah, between Ramah and Bethel. Now, some of the kids here may be thinking, okay, if you're helping your kids, try to, you know, help them, you know, draw a woman there with palm trees and write the skills underneath that I will be describing, you know, as I go down to this message. So Deborah, you know, with that ability. Okay? And then the third one in verse 5 is that Deborah was very wise. The Bible describes her as a person who had wisdom, which most likely was the reason why many of the people there in Israel came to her for guidance in her office. So she had that between Palm of Deborah sitting there and providing counsel, providing guidance. And then another one of her skills or gifts is that she had a gift of inspiration. She was able to give counsel. And it says in a text, she sent and summoned, if you grow up in the Philippines, you use the word barak, actually, not barak, that's English. But so I will use the word barak. She sent and summoned Barak, the son of Abinadab, from Kadesh Naphtali, and said to him, "Has not the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded you, go after your men at Mount Tabor, taking 10,000 from the people of Naphtali and the people of Zebulun?" She was able to inspire or give counsel. So that was one of her other skill. And lastly, if you look in chapter 5, actually, you will find out that she wrote this song. In other words, she was a poet and a musician. And this song actually was considered one of the most brilliant works of art during that time. So you see that a woman here with all these gifts and skills. Wow! She must have been very influential, what you would consider that, you know, like that during, in our time. So answering that question again, why do you think many people use, or many theologians would go to this text and prove that she was a leader in Israel? It shows by her gifts and skills. Now the next thing I want to do, as we continue examining the text and the story, is to compare judges. So we have to ask this question: How was Deborah similar, and how was Deborah different, okay, or unlike other judges? So let's begin with the similarities, all right? Like the other judges, Deborah was not the usual type of leader. She was like the other judges. She was not expected leader or judge. Obviously, because Deborah was a woman. Last time we talked about the unexpected leader. His name was Ahab. He was an unlikely leader because he was a left-handed man. And normally you would think that there's nothing wrong with being left-handed. But there we learn that this condition did not mean someone who is strong in his left hand. We learn that Ahab's left-handedness was considered a weakness or disability. And now we have a woman. Women, especially in ancient times, were not usually rulers or leaders. Actually, she was the only woman who was recorded in the book of Judges who played an important role in respect to the deliverance of the Israelites from their enemies. Now, a little bit of inference to that. Some commentators believe that Jael, the one who killed Sisera, had an important role as well. Now, this suggestion is debatable. God must have used her, no doubt about that, but her role was not recorded for the purpose of pointing us to the ultimate Savior. Deborah pointed us to the paradigm-busting Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who saved us in a most unexpected way, contrary to the wisdom of the world. That's what we see in Deborah. So that was the similarity of Deborah with all other judges. She was not expected. She was not the likely type or usual type of leader. Now, how is Deborah then different? Okay?
how is it different from the others, from the rest of the judges, or from other judges? One thing that we see from our text is that Daniel was the most godly and gifted of all the judges mentioned in the book. I think I introduced that to you a while ago. He was the only one who was depicted as wise, talented, brilliant, and godly. All the rest were very flawed. Actually, only Othniel seemed to have a military skill before becoming a judge. Now we observe that it was recorded that Deborah was multi-talented. She was a career person. This is something that we need to pay attention to, actually. Because according to what we have seen thus far in our study of the book of Judges, the only skill that God inspired or God required from every deliverer in the judge, of the judge in Israel, was a military skill. So this leads us now to the next point of Deborah's unlikelihood from all other judges. Deborah was not a warrior. Okay? Although she went with Barak to develop an army, that was not her plan. It wasn't something she wanted to do because she had no skills in this area. And more than that, there's no indication in the story that she actually led someone into battle. So that's the second difference from other judges. The third one is that she wanted to form a team. You realize that other judges led the army into battle by themselves. Now Deborah here formed a team, and she did not want to be the leader of the team. You will notice in the story that Deborah insisted on commanding Barak to go and fight. That is not because Deborah was in command. Just because she said, Barak, go, that doesn't mean she was in command. She said those words because there was God's command to Barak. God wanted Barak to go, and so Deborah basically uttered or preached or used the word of God so that Barak would go. So, again, we know that because she was a prophetess, speaking what God commanded Barak to do. She encouraged Barak using her profession and skills, while no other judge did anything like this at all. It was only her who did this. She became part of the team using her wisdom and character rather than physical strength. Another question is, after examining those things, similarities and differences and skills, and the question is, was Deborah the primary judge, as we see in the text? Was she the deliverer of the Israelites here? Many conservatives will say yes to that question, while cringing in the idea. As much as they wanted to say that women are never to be in positions of social leadership, it is hard to deny that she was actually judging. That's what it says in verse 4. And it's even supported by verse 9. It says that Deborah was judging, as she was judging, and then how Deborah responded to Barak was another indication that she was truly the one leading. As I said earlier, conservatives take this view, or take a view that it is an inference or anomaly, or the story is not something usual because of the unwillingness of men to lead. In other words, when men are not willing to lead, then it is expected that women will rise into leadership. And so they get this from Deborah's response. Read with me in verse 9. And as he says, Deborah said, I will go with you, but because of the way you are going about this, the honor will not be yours. For the Lord will hand Sisera over to a woman. Now, if this translation is accurate, then Deborah's willingness to go with Barak was a punishment due to his unwillingness to fight or to take the lead. So it makes sense that this fits the conservative view. It means that women would rise to leadership on occasions due to the unwillingness of men to step up to the plate. Now, liberals read the story and say, now this interpretation, and say, there it is. Gender differences are not relevant with regard to leadership. Feminine characteristics do not make it hard for women to lead. Furthermore, this account has also led many liberals to insist that a woman can do anything a man can do. And so not to allow women in leadership roles is inequality in allowing the gifts that God gave to both men and women. Both sides sound very convincing. But let me just tell you where the conservatives have gone wrong in their position. Even though there are good reasons to reject the view that the liberals are presenting, there is also a reason to reject the conservative view. The translation of chapter 4, verse 9 can also say this. If you understand other terms, the way to accurately translate that, knowing Hebrew, or compare it with other translations, it can also say this, but on the expedition, instead of the way, alright, that's NIV, the way you are doing this, ESV actually used the word, but on the expedition you are taking, the honor will not be yours. And I think another way of translating that is that the road, I said the word in NASB, and now this is ESV, the road on which you are going will not lead to your goal. And that doesn't really sound like Barak was ignoring his role or unwilling to take leadership. And he's thinking, well, I think it sounds like he is really unwilling to lead in here. Well, let me respond to that in two ways. Barak's desire for Deborah to go with him in battle was not an act of disobedience or unwillingness to lead. The way he responded to Deborah actually was synonymous or similar to what Moses said. When God commanded him to go, Moses said, this is in Exodus 33:12 and 3:17, Moses said, not unless you go with me. And Deborah's response to Barak was identical to God's response to Moses. God said, I will go with you. And you see how godly Deborah was. And so how can it be that Barak was unwilling, or Barak would be displaying unwillingness by wanting a godly person to be with him in battle? So then the first response to that view. And secondly, if Barak, or if his response was a sign of unwillingness, why would his name be mentioned in the midst of the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11:32? Read that with me. Hebrews 11:32 says, and what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell a Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. This is remarkable. You would think that David's name would have been mentioned in Hebrews 11. Why was it Barak who was mentioned here? If he acted in that way unwillingly, or if he acted in disobedience to go and lead. These verses actually tell us that Barak obeyed by faith. So that's the response to the conservative view. Now the response to the liberal is this. Now how did they go wrong in their position? First, Daniel's gifts and spirits were very distant from all the judges from whom, God called to lead the Israelites into battle. And I already alluded to that earlier. He was not a warrior. Actually, that was the main responsibility God required from every judge that he called. The only requirement to be a judge was to lead a nation into battle. That was the first objection. Second objection is that Deborah acted as a complement to Barak in battle. Actually, this is the only time we see teamwork. You can search the whole book of Judges, and most of the time you will find every single judge going into battle as a single leader. This is the only time that you see two people working together to do what God commanded them to liberate the Israelites. There was a teamwork here. David knew that he wasn't working to take the role of leadership here. That's why he said to Barak, go! And so he said, okay, you go with me. He didn't say that. He said, Barak, go. And we realize that actually he didn't go all the way. He stopped just in one place and left Barak head on and defeated the Israelites. This is the second one. The third point here to reject this view is that Babel was known already by the Israelites. It sounds like that because he had been serving the Israelites already way before there was trouble in Israel. And you will notice also that as you read the book of Judges, that God would raise up a deliverer when there is trouble. Here, as you read the story, it appears that Deborah was already known in Israel before there was trouble. And so God used her, in other words, he was gifted in building community and providing care for people. And God used her to encourage the writer or the lead. Yes. And so now the question is, who really can we use this text to support and the liberal or the conservative use this text to support their views? What's the answer to that? The story of Deborah and Barak actually was not written to tell us about gender roles as to who should lead and who has the primary leadership. It was written simply to tell us what happened, not what should have happened. In other words, it wasn't written to teach us about gender roles per se. and any instances like this to be tested against the rest of the scripture. We cannot put some implicit guideline to say that this is a firm proof that women can be appointed as leaders, or whether they are, in a certain sense, women can be leaders. That will actually point us to something we should see. Something else that we should see. And that is to see who God is in battle. But the differences in gender have to be expressed through some differentiation in role within the church based on some other texts. It's going to be from this one. Another question is, as we, now this is another, as we wind down into this church, so who is the primary leader to us in this story? The question is Deborah. Now, for me to say that, it's kind of, I'm rejecting a lot of commentaries here. Maybe a lot of you already, you know, read the story and say, oh yeah, Deborah was the judge. Deborah was the leader here. And probably if you have been going to Sunday school since you were a kid, you would know that, hey, you know, you cannot deny that Deborah here really was the woman judge. Let me just say this, that no doubt that God wanted Deborah to do what he did. However, she knew that she was not supposed to be the one to lead the Israelites into battle like the other judges. She wasn't the rock. As I mentioned earlier, the New Testament validated that. The New Testament validated that it was the rock who showed his faith into battle, just like all of the judges that God appointed to lead the Israelites. And he did that, even though it assured him that he would not get the glory. You remember the story? That Barak was told by Deborah, the wife, or the radio taking, the man you're doing this, so you will not get the glory. And it's okay. Because actually, that's what God wants us to do. That's what God is doing here. That's what God is planning. So we must act like the rock. But even if we do not get the glory, we do it. Because we are focused on what can I get, what could I, what will it make me look at? Well, in this case, the rock won. That's why the writer of Hebrews implored him, because he acted in faith. Some of the questions, why would the writer of the book of Judges tell the story in this way that gives an impression that Deborah was the main leader? Did you get that? If you were reading it, why would the writer tell Judges, you know, give that impression? Well, I think that is a wrong question to ask. That's when I asked the question. The writer of the book of Judges actually did not miss the point here, and you know that because the judges really the story accurately, because the writer of Hebrews did not miss the point. It is you and I, along with the conservatives, and along with the liberals, who are missing the point, because we focus so much on people's stories and stories. Another thing that we see here,
Thank you.